eyeballs and of course subscribers from some of the well-established news organizations in South Africa. And this does, I guess, help set the tone and context for what's currently unfolding, with the South African Competition Commission having initiated the Media and Digital Platforms Market Inquiry, aiming to scrutinize the influence of digital platforms on the nation's media landscape. To unpack this further for us, with less legalese and confusion, is Chris Charter, Director in the Competition Practice Area at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, also known as CDH. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Chris.
Likewise, Gugu. Thanks very much for having me.
Fantastic. I'm excited by these developments, but also understand how technical they can get. And I'm hoping that I've provided a fair enough synopsis. But just take us back, just to fully understand where the issue of contention here lies for media agencies in South Africa versus the digital platforms on a global scale.
Yes. This came up in the previous market inquiry that the commission did into intermediary platforms. So you may recall they were looking for quite some time at the sort of competition impact of the rise of massive platforms for the sale of goods and services. So think Amazon, think Takealot, those kind of things. In the context of that digital market inquiry, they got some submissions to suggest that maybe they should also be looking at the impact of big digital platforms on news media content, in particular those who produce the content in South Africa, and to what extent that sort of interdependence between newspaper, well, generally media content providers, and the digital platforms that increasingly disseminate that media, how that relationship is playing out, and whether there might be market distortions. And that's really what the market inquiry is about. It's trying to better understand the dynamics of this new market and to see whether there's any kind of unintended impact on media publication in particular that might need to be addressed to make sure that we continue to have a vibrant, independent media and not one which is purely driven by social media and search engines.
Definitely. Let's talk about that impact and fully evaluate what has raised or has been raised as a concern for a lot of the media institutions.
So, well, you mentioned up front the primary one, which is that increasingly people are consuming their news through digital platforms. So you'll either search on Google, or you will get your news feed through social media. And so, as you said, people are buying far fewer newspapers, if any, these days. And in a manner of speaking, newspapers with their own digital offering are competing with the big platforms, the big search engines, in order to get consumers onto the watching their content. And at the same time, of course, they are dependent on these big digital platforms to reach those consumers, because most of us, our first port of call when we're quite keen to know what's going on in the Middle East or in the Ukraine or in the South African elections, we'll Google it, for lack of a better term. So the concern is that at one stage they are competing for those eyeballs, but they also are entirely dependent on those big platforms to attract readers. And the concern is, to what extent going forward are readers likely to engage directly with the media houses? And the big concern there is access to advertising revenue, because that's really, since people aren't making money from selling individual newspapers anymore, they make money from advertising. And the concern is that a lot of that advertising revenue is being captured by the big platforms, the search engines and the social media platforms, and isn't being shared fairly with the guys who actually produce the content that keeps the eyeballs on Google, for instance. And so that's really, I think, the fundamental concern that the commission is looking at. They're also looking at to sort of other increases in the power of the big digital platforms, such as their access to data. They have so much access to consumer data that they're far better placed than an individual media house to understand what consumers want, what's working best. And there's a concern that if that isn't shared with the media owners, that they won't be able to pivot quickly enough to deal with what the consumers really want. And that reserves even greater power then for those big platforms. And in a similar way, the platforms are able to tweak their algorithms and have a big impact on what you see first. And there was concerns about whether that is sort of free and fair. In other words, they may be tweaking the algorithm to point, first of all, to those media houses which give you know, before we even talk about fake news and clickbait and that kind of thing,
yes,
but just pointing to those who perhaps give them free media content rather than those who are more inclined to try and get people to get onto their own newspaper website.
Mm.
So it's those kind of, it's an imbalance of power that the commission is concerned about. And insofar as they don't yet have a clear cut case of any sort of competitive abuse, the market inquiry is a good way to sort of better understand how these various bits and pieces fit together, what the business models are, and whether in fact there is some sort of impact on competition, which is perhaps not the fault of your big platforms, but where there might be some tweaks made to their business model to perhaps more fairly share, for instance, advertising revenue.
100%. I find this so intriguing, though, Chris, because I can imagine that for many of us on the outside looking in, you would assume that there's almost a symbiotic relationship between media platforms together with these search engines and social media institutions, because you would think that they actually assist each other in terms of content. But as you're adequately directing, it also does speak to specific nuances. There are media agencies as well who focus on specific content, others who focus on specific jurisdictions, versus these international technology giants who really have a world's view of providing content for everyone and anyone and providing that nuance to create bespoke content for the individual. So I'm finding that for me as an outsider, I see this being a very complex matter. And are we finding that there are international standards perhaps that offer a guideline as to how South Africa should be handling this, or is it more nuanced to our experience?
I think there certainly is some indication from how regulators around the world are tackling this, but as it happens, you know, we're right sort of alongside shoulder to shoulder with other regulators, in particular the Australian regulator, the ACCC, and the regulator in the UK, the CMA, and the Canadian regulator, all of whom are kind of doing the same kind of inquiries that South Africa is doing. So we're in good company. In other words, a lot of key regulators around the world are equally concerned about this sort of brave new era that we're in, with the rise of massive digital platforms and everybody moving online. That's really sort of got impetus after COVID, I think. Everybody moved hugely online.
Mm.
So a lot of regulators are looking at it. No regulator yet has a solution, but all the regulators feel that before things get completely out of hand and before it becomes impossible to catch up, that they better be looking quite carefully and to try and see what kind of, you know, sort of minor sort of economic engineering tweaks they can bring. So if they can get a lot of these big media houses and a lot of the big platforms to actually engage on the problem, and exactly as you say, Gugu, work out some way to ensure that relationship continues to be symbiotic.
Yes.
And I think there must be some realization about the fact that as much as the media houses need access and fair access to big platforms in order to get their news out there and get eyeballs and readers, at the same time, those content providers or content distributors also need good content in order to make their business work.
Mm.
So hopefully there is some realization of that symbiotic relationship. And of course, though, you know, when we're dealing with big business, you always need to make sure that some of those initial incentives to just throw your weight around is at least nipped in the bud by I think effective regulation, which you know doesn't try to pick sides, but tries to create a landscape where we can have the best access to quality media and a more diverse media voice. I think particularly in South Africa,
yes,
you know, where we have, you know, 11 official languages. And a need for more vernacular news to be available online, to try and create an environment where that is more likely. That's probably quite a laudable task. And if the commission can do that without picking sides and trying to get to a, as exactly as you say, a more symbiotic outcome, I think they would have done well.
100%. Chris, I am so intrigued by this conversation and this theme and monitoring how it does unfold. And we haven't even touched on fake news yet and how that's going to be monitored and the legalities behind that. But certainly interesting times when it comes to access to media, the structure of media companies, and of course, the diversity of options that are available, but also understanding that we need to create a fair game in terms of opportunities. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Chris. Really appreciate the insight you've shared.
Likewise, and yours, Google. Thanks for that.
Thank you so much. That's Chris Charter, director in the competition practice area at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, also known as CDH, helping us really unpack an intriguing insight that's really coming through from traditional mainstream media owners in